Now let's continue on with day two of the Feast of Tabernacles 2014. Now we're going to look at some other things here in the book of Isaiah, which describe about the millennium and the things that are going to take place and what we will do. Now let's come to Isaiah 32. Isaiah 32. Let's come to the very first verse, because this talks about us and Christ. Verse 1, behold, a king shall reign in righteousness, and rulers shall rule in justice. Then it talks about what has to happen to get to that point. Come over here to verse 15. Until the Spirit is poured upon us from on high, and the wilderness becomes a fruitful field, and the fruitful field is thought to be a forest, then justice shall dwell in the wilderness, and righteousness remain in the fruitful field. The work of righteousness, which is what we are going to do, shall be peace. Peace, the Prince of Peace, the King of Peace. And the result of righteousness shall be quietness and confidence forever. And my people shall dwell in a peaceable home and in secure dwellings, a quiet resting place, because the millennium is pictured as the rest of God. That is, rest from sin, rest from all the effects of Satan, the devil, and the demons, and the glorious reign. Now let's come over here to Isaiah 33, and let's pick it up in verse 20. And then we will look a little bit about what the temple will be like during the millennium. And please understand this. Ezekiel 40 to the end is not describing the millennial temple at all. Because as you will see, there will not be a temple, but a tabernacle. Let's read it. Verse 20, look upon Zion, the city of our holy gathering, your eyes shall see Jerusalem, a quiet home, a tabernacle that shall not be taken down. Not one of its stakes shall be removed, nor shall any of its cords be broken. But there, the glorious Lord will be to us a place of broad rivers and streams, in which no galley with oars shall go, nor a mighty ship pass by it. For the Lord is our judge, the Lord is our lawgiver, the Lord is our king, he will save us. Not only us, but the whole world. Save all humankind. Now let's come back here again to Isaiah the 4th chapter. And let's see what it says. This gives us a hint of what the tabernacle will be like. Remember, this is the Feast of Tabernacles. And remember, this pictures the rule of God on the earth with the saints. Now, Isaiah chapter 4. Now, let's pick it up here in verse 5. This just gives us a hint. There's not going to be a building built. There is not going to be an altar for sacrifices. None of that is necessary, because Christ is here. He is our ultimate sacrifice. Never forget that. All right, verse 5, Isaiah 4. And the Lord will create over every dwelling place of Mount Zion and over her assemblies. Now, all who are there in Jerusalem, a cloud and smoke by day and a shining of a flaming fire by night. So it's going to be a tabernacle of glory. And that's going to be over Jerusalem. And it's going to be there. Now remember, what was the type of that with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt? Pillar of cloud by day to lead them, and fire by night to give them light. Correct? Yes. Now, this is what it's going to be like with the tabernacle of Christ. And remember, the church is called the Tabernacle of David. Yes. All right. For over all the glory shall be a canopy, and there shall be a tabernacle for shade by day from the heat, and for refuge and for shelter from storm and rain. Quite a bit of different thing, isn't it? That's going to be great to see that, to learn that. Now, let's come here to Isaiah, the second chapter, and let's see what we are going to do. Isaiah, the second chapter. Now, it starts from Jerusalem. Israel is regathered. Judah is regathered. Israel is being rebuilt. Christ is there. The saints are there. Now then, the world is going to know that God is there. Not all are going to be willing to come. We'll see that in just a minute. And we will see what they are going to try and do. All right, Isaiah the second chapter, verse 1. The word that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountains. Remember, when Christ steps on Mount Olives, it's going to split in two and raise up. And it's going to be the government of the world. And it's going to be over all nations. And it's going to be the central place where the rule and love and truth of God comes to the whole world, which we bring to all nations. And shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. And remember what it said? If the nations don't come up and keep the Feast of Tabernacles, Zechariah 14, God's going to deal with them. Which shows not everyone is going to be willing and obedient instantly. Some are going to have to be persuaded. We'll see that in just a bit. And many people shall go and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and he will teach us his ways, and we will walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And the constitution of the world is going to be the word of God. And whatever else God wants to add to it in addition to what we already have. Verse 4, and he shall judge among the nations, and we will be judges with him, and shall rebuke many people. They have to be corrected. Even after Christ and the saints come back on the earth, and Satan is bound, God is not immediately going to go to all the nations of the world. No, no, they are going to come to him. He is going to bring Israel to him. And God is going to deal with Israel first. Okay. Now notice, shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares. Going to take time to get rid of all the implements of war, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. Because Satan will be bound for the entire millennium. And remember what happens when he's loosed? For a little while, war. Yes, indeed. Okay. Now, let's come to Ezekiel 38. And let's see something here very interesting concerning Israel. Concerning Gog and Magog. And remember the armies of 200 million in the east? Nowhere does it say that they bow down and they repent and they come and embrace God's ways. No, God has something special in store for them before that they will submit. He has to rebuke strong nations afar off. All right, Ezekiel 38 and verse 1. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, set your face against Gog and the land of Magog and the chief ruler of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him, and say, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I am against you, O Gog, the chief ruler of Rosh, Meshech, and Tubal. Now that's Russia and all the Far East. Okay? Then it lists all the nations that were there. Okay? Persia and Ethiopia, in this case it's foot, it's India, and Libya with them, all of them, Gomer and all his bands, verse 6, the house of Togarmah from the uttermost parts of the north, all of his bands and many people with him. Be prepared, yea, prepare yourself, you and all your assembly that are assembled with you, and be a guard for them. After many days, you will be summoned. In the latter years, you shall come. So they come at the Battle of Armageddon, but that doesn't, all the 200 million can't be there. They're still back there in the Far East. Okay? So God's going to take care of them. You will be summoned. In the latter years, you shall come into a land restored from war. That's Israel back in its land, restored from the war. Okay? Gather out of many peoples on the mountains of Israel, which have always been wasted, and she shall be brought out of the nations, and they shall dwell securely, all of them. So they're going to be at peace. Okay? Now they're going to come. They're going to say, look at this. They're going to devise an evil plan and say, let us go up, verse 11, to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to those who are at rest. And remember, God said he would give Israel rest. And remember, not everyone comes to Jerusalem. Not everyone comes to Jerusalem at the beginning of the millennium. They are going to be forced to. And the people here are going to be protected by God. All right. All of them dwelling without walls, and there shall be no bars or gates, in order to take a spoil, to steal a prize, to turn your hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, who have gotten cattle and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Sheba and Dedan, the merchants of Tarshish and her villages, who say, have you come to take a spoil? Have you gathered your company to steal a prize and carry away silver and gold and take away cattle and goods to take a great spoil? Therefore, son of man, prophesy against Gog. Thus says the Lord, in the day that my people of Israel dwell securely, shall you not know it? Yes, indeed, they're going to send spies out to see what's happening. They aren't going to yield to God right at the beginning. They will be forced to. And God is going to bring them into the area there. And a great slaughter is going to take place. Yes. Therefore prophesy and say against Gog, thus says the Lord, in the day that my people Israel dwell securely, shall you not know it? And you shall come from your place, from the uttermost parts of the north, you and many people with you, all of them riding on horses, a great company and a mighty army. And you shall come upon my people Israel like a cloud and cover the land. It shall be in the latter days, and I will bring you against my land, so that the nations may know me, when I shall be sanctified in you, O God, O Gog, before their eyes. That's going to be something. God is going to stand up and fight for them. And God is going to make a perpetual witness out of those nations that would not submit. So God has something very special for them in this. And it says, let's go on here. Thus says the Lord, Are you he whom I've spoken of in former days by the hand of my servants, the prophets of Israel, who prophesied of these days for many years that I will bring you against them? And it shall come to pass at the same time, when Gog comes against the land of Israel, says the Lord God, my hot anger shall be aroused. For in my fury and in the fire of my wrath I have spoken. Surely in that day there shall be a great quaking in the land of Israel. And then you read all of chapter 39, and everyone says, and then they shall know that I am the Lord. Let's read it here in chapter 39, verse 1. Therefore, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, thus says the Lord God, behold, I am against you, O Gog, and the chief ruler of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn you about and lead you on, and will bring you up from the uttermost parts of the north, and I will bring you against the mountains of Israel. And I will strike your bow with your left hand, and you shall cause your arrows to fall out of your right hand, and you shall fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your bands and the people with you, and I will give you for food to the birds of prey of every kind, to the beast of the field, and you shall fall upon the face of the open field, for I have spoken it, says the Lord God. Ah, this is going to be a great thing that's going to be going on. It's going to be something. All right, verse 6. I will send my fire on Gog and Magog and those who dwell in the isles. They shall know that I am the Lord. Now notice this. Verse 7. This is going to be, after probably 7 years, God is going to establish authority over all the earth at that time. But first he's got to destroy Gog and Magog. Now, verse 7. I will make my holy name known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let them profane my holy name anymore. Then the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Behold, it is coming. It shall be done, says the Lord God. This is the day of which I have spoken. And the inhabitants of the cities of Israel shall go out, and shall set on fire and burn the weapons, both the shields and the bucklers, the bows and the arrows, the javelin and the spears, and they shall burn them with fire 7 years. Wow, what a thing that is going to be. Okay, now come on down here, verse 11. And it shall be at that day, I will give to Gog a burial place there by Israel, the valley of those who pass by, east of the sea, and it shall block off those who pass by, and there they shall bury Gog and his multitude, and they shall be call it the valley of the multitudes of Gog, and the house of Israel shall bury them to cleanse the land 7 months, and all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be a day of renown that I shall be glorified, says the Lord God. And all the nations of the earth then will know that he is God, and the kingdom of God is ruling on this earth. Now let's come to Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26. After that, notice verse 1. In that day this song shall be sung in the land of Judah. We have a strong city. He sets up salvation as our walls and banks. Open the gates so that the righteous nation may enter in. One that is faithfully keeping truth. That's us. And we will keep him in, you will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for God the Lord is the everlasting rock. All right. Now let's look at some other things that are going to happen here. All right. Let's come to Isaiah 30, just a few pages over. And I think the book of Isaiah contains an awful lot, perhaps the most of any of the prophets about the millennium and what's going to happen and how it's going to be run and what a fantastic thing that is going to be. Isaiah 30, and let's pick it up here in verse 18. Isaiah 30 and verse 18. And therefore will the Lord wait, that he may be gracious unto you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy upon you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For your people, for all people who dwell in Zion at Jerusalem, you shall weep no more. He shall be very gracious to you at the voice of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, that is before they're brought back, yet your teachers shall not be removed into a corner any more, but your eyes shall see your teachers. That will be us. Teaching, training, ruling, serving, teaching people how to love God, bringing them the knowledge of conversion. And what a glorious thing that is going to be with Jerusalem, the way it is going to be then at that time. Now notice, won't be in a corner, see, anymore. Your eyes shall see your teachers, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. Okay? That's going to be a marvelous time, isn't it? And we're going to help people. Just think, what a job it's going to be to help God bring people into the kingdom of God, to help them be ready for eternal life. Because you see, the millennium is only a major step in bringing many, many more people into the kingdom of God, many, many more spirit beings. And remember, there's the whole universe out there, and God doesn't do anything in vain. That is made for a purpose. So keep that in mind. Yes, indeed. Let's come over here to Isaiah 45. Isaiah 45 and verse 17. Isaiah 45 and verse 17. Verse 17, Isaiah 45. But Israel shall be saved by the Lord with an everlasting salvation. You shall not be ashamed nor disgraced, even into the ages of eternity. That's going to be an amazing thing. For thus says the Lord, the creator of the heavens, he himself is God, who formed the earth and made it. He has established it. He created it not in vain, but formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, and there is none else. Quite a thing, isn't it? I have not spoken in secret in a dark place in the earth. I did not say to the seed of Jacob, seek me in vain. I, the Lord, speak righteousness. I declare things that are right, constantly going out. This is going to be so fantastic and great, okay? Gather yourselves and come. Draw near together, you who have escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge who carry the wood of their graven images and those who pray to a God that cannot say. Declare and bring near. Let them take counsel. Who has declared this of old? Who has told it from ancient times? Have not I, the Lord? And there is no other God besides me, a just God and a Savior. There is none besides me. Turn to me and be saved. Yes, indeed, because salvation is going to be open to the whole world at this time. Turn to me and be saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God. There is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not turn back, that unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear. One will say, only in the Lord do I have righteousness and strength. Even to him shall men come, and they are ashamed, all who are angry against him. In the Lord shall all the seed of Israel be justified, and shall glory. Now notice, salvation is still going to be to every human being on an individual basis. So that expands out the whole work of what we are going to do. Now let's come over here to Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61, and this tells about us and our work. Right here, verse 6, Isaiah 61. Now remember, brethren, all of the word of God is going to be fulfilled. All the blessings and all the promises. All the curses and all the promises of curses. And God is going to then undo all the work of Satan the devil. And what a time that is going to be. And that's saved for the last great day. All right, let's pick it up here in verse 6. But you shall be called the priest of the Lord, and it shall be said of you, the ministers of our God, and you shall eat the riches of the Gentiles and shall boast in their glory. Now that's, we're going to be kings and priests. That's how it's going to be. All right, pick it up here in verse 10. I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall be joyful in my God, for he has clothed me with the robes of salvation, covered me with the robe of righteousness, like a bridegroom adorns himself with ornaments, and like a bride adorns herself with jewels. For as the earth brings forth its bud, as the garden causes that which is sown to grow, so the Lord will cause righteousness and praise to grow before all nations, and we are going to administer that. Now look at the society that we are going to have. All right? Let's pick it up here. It says, verse 16, Isaiah 16, just across the page, you shall suck the milk of nations and suck the breasts of kings. And you shall know that I, the Lord, am your Savior and your Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. And this will be day after day, week after week, Sabbath after Sabbath, month after month, as it says at the end of the book of Isaiah. And they will know God, they will worship God, it will be such a wonderful and great thing. Notice the blessings that are going to come. Notice how fantastic this is going to be. Verse 17, for bronze I will bring gold, for iron I will bring silver, and for wood I will bring bronze, and for stones iron, and I will make your overseers to be peace and your rulers to be righteousness. That's us. And we're going to administer all of this. Think of what kind of civilization that is going to be. That's going to be something. All right. Verse 18. Violence shall no more be heard in your land, neither wasting nor ruin within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. Okay? Now notice, there's still going to be the sun, but that's not the light that we need. We need the light of the Lord. Notice, the sun shall no more be your light by day, nor the brightness of the moon to give light to you, but the Lord will be to you an everlasting light, and your God your glory. Think of that. Didn't Jesus say, I am the light of the world, Yes, indeed. Well, think how much more magnified that is going to be when he comes as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Much more. Now let's finish by coming over here to Isaiah 11. And let's see how fantastic this is going to be. Isaiah 11. And let's see that that is all going to be the result of our work, of our ministry, serving under Christ, serving under the apostles, serving under the patriarchs, serving under the prophets. Yes, with so many people, there's going to be a lot of work to do for a lot of people with a lot of things. And see, to bring about righteousness, goodness, truth, love, everything. And look at what it's going to result in. Isaiah 11, verse 1. And there shall come forth a shoot out of the stump of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots. Now this is Christ. Remember, one man. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. And his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord, that is God the Father, of course. And he shall not judge according to the sight of his eyes, nor after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness he shall judge the poor, and shall reprove with equity the meek of the earth. And he shall strike the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips he shall slay the wicked. No, the wicked are not going to be around. All right? Verse 5. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins. And the whole earth is, the whole environment and everything is going to be completely changed. The nature of animals is going to be changed. And it's going to be that way through all the millennium. It's going to be completely different than anything we understand now. Look at this. Also, the wolf shall lie down with the lamb. Formerly, his dinner. And the leopard shall lie down with the kid, no longer eating the little kid goat. And the calf and the cub lion and the fatling together, and a little child shall lead them. No more plastic toys. The real thing. And the cow and the bear shall feed. Their young ones shall lie down together. And the lion shall eat straw like the ox. And the suckling child shall play on the hole of the asp. And the weaned child shall put his hand in the viper's den. And they shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, because the rule and reign of Christ and the saints will guarantee it. For the earth shall be full of the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. Isn't that going to be something? You think we know anything now? Wait until that time comes. And in that day there shall be a root of Jesse standing as a banner for the people. To him the nations shall seek, and his rest shall be glorious. And it's going to complete the plan of God. So what a fantastic time that is going to be. This is going to be 1,000 years of the greatest, most wonderful things to happen to all humankind. And brethren, we have been called to have part in that. Now just think how great that is going to be. So we'll see you tomorrow. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.